Hello, and welcome to this episode of BTS by the Book, a podcast that explores BTS through books about BTS, one chapter at a time. I am your host, the BTS Bookworm. I'm a university librarian living in America, and I use the BTS Bookworm nickname because I believe it's a perfect description of, one, my love of BTS, and two, the way I pursue my love of just about anything, and that's through books. When I first discovered BTS, I rushed to buy books instead of albums, and within a week, I had three BTS books in my possession, and by the time I was through those books, I was already hooked on BTS. The weekly plan for this podcast is to consider one chapter or a chapter's worth of material from one BTS book with a combination of overview and review. And I do this in a rotating fashion, never looking at the same book in consecutive weeks. If we talk about one book one week, we may not talk about that same book again for 6 to 7 weeks. And I do that out of respect for the authors of these books and out of respect for copyright. I want authors to know I'm on their side and never want to take away from their work or their sales, etc. In fact, it's just the opposite. Now, today's book is more like a booklet. I'll just be honest with you about that. And I have promised you listeners that I would only look at books that were substantive works, that had substance to them. And this one just barely makes the cut, in my opinion. I call it a booklet because it's just shy of 100 pages. And if you saw it on a shelf, it might look more like a magazine instead of a book. In fact, it would be found, I think, at least in a book, a brick and mortar type store with magazines. And it could certainly pass as one. It was done by Entertainment Weekly earlier this year, and I am talking about The Ultimate Guide to BTS. Undoubtedly, many of you have seen this on newsstands already, may own a copy. They call it a collector's edition, so diehard BTS fans may already have a copy, most of them. But the reason I am making an exception and focusing not only on a booklet, not a book, but because of its size, I won't be looking at just one chapter. I'm going to consider the entire book in this episode. But I am doing it for one main reason. It's book-like enough to be considered a book, in my opinion, even though it has all the the trimmings of a magazine. But this magazine / book will only be on newsstands for another 2 months, give or take. So maybe until October. After that, and currently, you could probably pick this up online. I noticed it on Amazon today, so you should be able to get a copy just fine once it's pulled from, bookstore and grocery store shelves. But because it will disappear in these in-person brick-and-mortar environments very soon, I wanted to give some attention to it. So apologies if you were hoping for something more substantive. We'll definitely get to something more substantive next week. I already know what book we'll be looking at, so definitely more substance there. Obviously, this being a product of Entertainment Weekly, there are plenty of photos here. It's definitely geared to the, diehard fans would buy it because it's got BTS on it and all through it. But I think it's geared also for the newly or barely initiated, those who've only heard a little bit about BTS, maybe have only heard a couple of their more recent songs that are in English, and they're just curious, and so they might pick it up. And obviously, there are going to be a lot of pictures in that kind of material, and there certainly are here. There are, though, six what I would call articles in this booklet, and a couple of the articles are very substantive. Supplementing those articles is a fairly sizable section of bios on each member of the group. And then there are two what I would call photo spreads that have a kind of a subject focus. So it's not just random pictures, in other words, but I certainly wouldn't consider them articles. And when it comes time to review this after the overview, I'm going to try my best to consider how well this booklet represents BTS, especially to newbies, people who are not yet ARMY and maybe not even close. How well does this type of material represent the group to those types of people? Okay, but what about the overview? I said there were six articles in here. By the way, this it came out in 2021. There are some reprint type material. There is some reprint type of material in here, going back, if I'm not mistaken, to 2019. This on the cover is intended to be displayed until October 2021. So it's fairly recent, although on the inside, I hardly saw even one reference to the year 2021. So it barely gets into 2020, and I guess they had to cut it off before it was published. But there's one article that certainly has some newer content than the others, but there are six articles here. I want to start with one of these. The first article in this booklet is one of the two especially substantive ones, just longer articles. And it's called From Boys to Men. They call this the foreword. Some of my favorite quotes are from this article. I do want to share a couple of those here in a minute. But it just provides a nice overview of the career of BTS up to this point, covering 8 years worth of their work, obviously. And there's some really great points made here. For example, I love this point made on page 7. In 2021, they say, it's easy to forget that BTS was not breaking records from day one. You know, going back to when they debuted, and that's an understatement. And they say it took at least 3 years of hard work and building deep connections with audiences before BTS kind of broke through in a more worldwide fashion. There's talk about trying to pinpoint one reason for BTS's success. And I love this statement. They say one contender or possibility for this a possible reason is the clarity, this is a quote, the clarity of intent behind everything they do to make people feel less alone. And I know that really resonates with a lot of you, and it does to me too. I really appreciate that. There's a reference here, passing reference, but it's important. They exhibit quite well the Korean values such as sincerity, collective harmony over pure individualism, and rigorous hard work. And I know BTS stands for all of that. And that's one thing we appreciate so much about them. That article is approximately 7 pages. And like I said earlier, there are plenty of pictures in here to break up the text. But there's a lot of substance here in this article one. But they call that the foreword. The first, what they seem to consider article, is entitled, I guess, Bulletproof Boy Scouts, with a 2-page photo of the group back in 2013. And obviously they've changed a lot since then in their appearance. But this is the section that I would consider a bio section. Not so much an article, but each member of the group gets the same type of treatment. And I mean that literally. It's like they just kind of, they have a template in place and they just have it for each and every person. They treat each member in order of age. So obviously Jin is going to come first. Jungkook is going to come last. Each member has a 2-page photo spread to begin their treatment with their, I don't know, their more popular, widely recognized name designation. So Jin is mentioned here, and on his 2-page photo spread, his birth date is mentioned, and his hometown, which is cool. But one thing I really appreciate is when you turn the page and you get into the 2-page spread that has the substance, like the content and text and paragraphs and sentences about each artist, the big font name that you see right off the bat is their Korean name. Not with the Korean letters or anything, but the more anglicized, you know, form of it. So for Jin, we have Kim Seok Jin right here. You cannot miss it. And I really appreciate how in your face these Korean name designations are, because, you know, some of these I'm really familiar with, like Suga's name in Korean, Yoongi. But the kind of the first and last name is here, and it's where you cannot miss it. And that's the same with each and every group member. I really like, well, the first page for each of the artists is mostly text. Jin receives about, I don't know, 6 paragraphs worth of info. And I really like how personal these descriptions get of each person. Here's a quote. Jin is known for his humility and self-deprecating sense of humor, adding to the unbreakable bond among group members. Talks about his love for food. Talks about how much he loves animals. He takes care of his pet sugar glider. And talks about how he supports charities such as the Korea Animal Welfare Association and Korean Animal Rights Advocates. And so I really like, I mean, and so the rest of this 2-page spread, and this is, again, the same with every single artist, it starts with this more personal, get to know the member as just a person. And I really like that, because that's one thing we love about BTS, is how personable they are and how personable they allow themselves to be in a public way. And so that's what you get in the first page. All sorts of smaller pictures here of Jin, including kind of like this, not a timeline, it's just Jin in different types of dress. You know, like he has a ball cap on in one picture, he has eyeglasses on in one, and he looks more formal in one, he looks more casual in another. It's just, that's definitely the case with every member. I really like Suga's five, you know, kind of different photos. You know, he's got the hat that's covering his eyes in one, he's got green hair in one, hair color is different practically each one. He's got a kind of a sunflower Halloween looking outfit on and another. So I think that's a nice kind of overview of different types of appearances dress wise for each member. But then most of the content on page two of this two-page spread, it's just the same template for everybody. What solo tracks is this member most known for? And there are two mentioned for Jin here tonight, which was done in 2019, Abyss, done in 2020. And there's just a little caption about what this solo track was all about, and how it originated, perhaps. But only a couple are mentioned here. Even for those who have a lot of solo tracks, mixtapes to mention, there are only a couple mentioned for each. So that was probably a hard choice to pick only a couple for each person. But and then finally, and this is definitely the case for each and every member, in the lower right-hand corner, it's just a quick five song list for Jin's favorite tracks. And these are not BTS songs, by the way. These are just each member's favorite tracks, and I'm assuming they asked them for this. And so Jin's favorite, number one, is The One by Taylor Swift. He actually mentions Life Goes On, one of the BTS's songs, as number five. So, you know, Coldplay's mentioned here. So that's kind of like a nice trivia sort of thing. Cool to know. But like I said, I'm not going to read everybody's. I do like the photo montages, though, the appearance for each one. Suga is my favorite. Obviously, J-Hope's looks pretty cool. V's dress montage looks great. Jungkook's is very diverse, his dress and appearance. And so that I mean, when you add up, you know, two-page photo type thing, two-page more substance type thing, that's four pages per person. And so that's a decent chunk of this issue is devoted to that. Now, the next section is what I would call a photo kind of, not an essay, but it's several pages with photos focused on one type of thing. There's a theme that holds them all together. And this theme, the heading is Better Together, which doesn't necessarily reflect, I think, what the theme is. But the focus of the photos for the next, let's see, 4, 6, 8, 10 pages is their greatest moments, the band's greatest moments. So every photo has every single member in it, all seven of them. Well, yeah, as far as I can tell, yeah. And just in different, you know, either award shows, ceremonies of various kinds, or performances. So just a really nice, handy look at some of their greatest moments, and I'm sure it was hard to choose, but the last photo is a two full page spread from 2020. It's a photo, it looks awesome. The Tonight Show appearance when they were in Grand Central Station, I guess that's what it's called, performing On. And so many people have obviously seen that video, but that's a great picture to end that section with. The second kind of article is an interview. This is the one I believe is the candidate for a reprint in Entertainment Weekly back in 2019. The article is called here Secrets of the Pop Stars. And right before the author's name is mentioned for this article, the interviewer, there's this line: in 2019, we traveled to South Korea to get the scoop on these seven global celebrities. So this goes back to 2019. And this is the article that seems most dated to me. Here's one example of old news. This paragraph says, the fact that they are all Korean-born and raised, singing Korean language songs, only occasionally sprinkled with English, feels like something brand new. I'll just stop there. And obviously, you know where I'm going with this. You know, there was a time when that's all BTS was known for. You know, Korean songs with just a little touch, a hint of English in it. But since 2019, obviously they've come out with Dynamite and Butter and Permission to Dance and songs like that. And so that statement seemed dated to me. I have a quote I'm going to share in a little bit from this article. But this interview doesn't read, it doesn't look like an interview where, you know, there might be a question and then like an answer with the name attached to who did the answering. It's in normal sentences and paragraph form, but there's a decent amount in here. This on page 57 about how life changed for BTS a while back when it comes to them making getting out in public to do normal things that would be normal for you and me, like going to the grocery store, going to the movies, going shopping. They have just had to give that up. Or this talks about how they focus on things they can do, like going to see movies at really odd times when there won't be many people in the theater, either very early or very late, things like that. So that's talked about in this article, which I thought was really cool. And this is the other substantive article. I told you there were two. This one goes on for close to 8 pages, and there are some pictures in there, but a whole lot of text. The last 2 pages of the article includes 2 really cool quotes from Steve Aoki. That name is probably familiar to you as a collaborator with BTS, music collaborator. And I feel like reading one of these quotes and not considering it one of my fave quotes here in a minute. But he says, they stand out. And he says, I'm not just talking about K-pop. They add so much of their personality to the music and into their stories and how they present themselves. And the world has fallen in love with them because they are showing that vulnerable side that everyone wants to see. And isn't that so well put? Doesn't that just make you remember or reappreciate something that maybe you were attracted to when you first got to know BTS, assuming that was a while ago? And that's one of my favorite things about booklets like this and this type of content. It just kind of reminds me, takes me back to what was it that drew me to the group early on. Here's one more bit of old news, in my opinion. Remember, this goes back to 2019. Let's see. There's a mention of the Hot 100 Singles chart, which has been talked about a lot lately with BTS. But see, at this time, you know, way before Butter, way before Permission to Dance, they have yet to reach that kind of milestone. There's a mention of cracking the top 10 with Fake Love. I guess that was the year before. But due to, you know, lack of radio airplay and things like that, they were the top spot was eluding them. And Suga is quoted here as saying, "It will have to be a great song." And obviously, that great song, that first one, was Butter. And then Permission to Dance is right there at the top now. And so, kind of old news, but it's kind of cool to read that and to think, yeah, things have changed even since 2019 for the better. There is a, right after that article, again, what the second of the substantive articles in here, there is a six-page, or is it eight? Eight-page spread called the Ultimate BTS Timeline. And it's really, it's a really handy and well-done timeline, starting with June 12, 2013 with the debut, and going until November 30th, 2020. And a decent amount of pictures, just enough info attached with each item on the timeline to make you interested and maybe want to know more about it. Maybe you want to get on YouTube and find a video of whatever it was. And just really cool. There's about 10 items on the timeline per two-page spread. So I guess that'd be about, let's see, 10 times about 40 things make the list here. That's really cool. And then we get to another photo, mostly photo kind of essay. It's a essay with quotation marks around it because, you know, not enough substance maybe to make it an essay in a lot of people's minds, but mostly photos portraying a visit, a whirlwind type visit to Los Angeles back in November 2017. This strikes me as something that was probably a reprint from an earlier Entertainment Weekly. I don't know. I didn't dig it up, and it doesn't come right out and say. I'm just thinking, since it was that old, and that it probably was. So just one photo after another for about, let's see, 12 pages. Cool photos. Again, common thread, theme, holding it all together. So that's really cool. They're not just random photos, which I think is great. Then we get to second to last article in here. It's called How BTS Redefined K-Pop. And there are some really cool quotes in this article. There's a decent amount of text here, but it's only a four-page article, so it's not as substantive as some of the others. I like the talk about something that seemed to slowly but surely start happening in 2015. The quote reads as follows: "This era saw BTS's members adopt a softer and more mature image that signaled a shift in their persona from rebellious teens to young adults." And I think you know, unless someone comes right out and says that, you kind of forget that. That's one thing I feel like a lot of fans who've been with the group for a while really have appreciated. We've watched them grow up, and I think aren't we thankful that they've matured, you know, and how that's affected their music and in all the right ways. And not that we don't love some of those earlier songs and everything, earlier videos and all, but we've appreciated how they've matured. I know I have. And so even though I'm a much newer fan than 2015, but I could still appreciate where they are now compared to where they seem to have been prior to 2015. And they just keep maturing, you know, just keeps happening, and rightly so. There's a quote here that I think is also worth mentioning. It's a quote about the 2016 album Wings, which they say had a decidedly darker tone. But here's the quote I want to focus on. "The album was laden with symbolism borrowed from literature, art, and mythology, most notably presented in the song Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and marked a turning point in BTS's career when they began to differentiate themselves from other K-pop groups in terms of artistic and narrative complexity. And I love that quote. And I'm no expert on K-pop, okay? Don't get me wrong. But I have just gotten the sense that this kind of thing is something that you just don't see in the average K-pop group, this what they call artistry, this artistic angle, especially in narrative complexity, not simplicity, but complexity. And I just think that's a wonderful summation of one thing that allows BTS to stand out from their K-pop contemporaries. There's talk in here about when BTS started collaborating with some well-known Western artists. And the Chainsmokers are mentioned. Aoki is mentioned here. Nicki Minaj. And that was a big kind of shift in their evolution. I guess is the best word for it. There's talk about, I like this quote, BTS, they're not the only ones who rap and sing about psychological and social issues, but they have just somehow been able to do it way more successfully and on a much more global scale than anybody else. And they give, last paragraph gives a lot of credit to ARMY for helping them become such a record-setting group and helping them become such a global phenomenon, which is great. Shout out to ARMY there. The next section, you could call it an article. It's a focus on the what the author calls the essential albums of BTS. And this is done by a well-known music critic, Yongdae Kim. He's written a book we will get around to looking at some point. But he highlights five albums here, starting with School Love Affair in 2014, and listing Map of the Soul 7, 2020. That's number five. He doesn't come out and say why these are in this particular order. It just looks chronological to me. So that's probably the order. And this is a bonus. So after the five, he mentions he has a bonus, which is the one of RM's mix tapes called Mono that was published in released in 2018. That's mentioned there. Each one of these albums gets about 3/4 of a page of attention. So that's really cool. And there aren't many pictures in here to break it up. So you just get a lot of text here. I'm sorry. Let me take that back. Each album gets close to half a page of attention, not 3/4. The last substantive article in this booklet focuses on Korean culture. When I read this, I thought it was just a filler. You know, they wanted a few more pages to throw in this booklet, so they threw this in. I didn't know for sure if it was a reprint of something earlier, but BTS is hardly mentioned in this article. It's just talking about, and by the way, it's got some pictures, but it's about 4 pages long, and it just focuses on the rise of Korean culture globally, going back to the 90s. And there's a reference to Hallyu, otherwise known as the Korean Wave. And they talk about everything from South Korean cosmetics to movies, to TV shows, to foods like kimchi, to Korean language being on the rise, you know. There's this mention I've been meaning to look into more about some universities in some Western countries like the US and UK actually offering BTS Korean language classes. I'm not surprised about the Korean language, but BTS Korean language? That's kind of weird to me. Anyway, but BTS is only mentioned twice, and it's in the last paragraph. So not a lot of talk about BTS there, more about Korean culture. And all the photos in that section are just about Korean culture, not BTS. The last little article hardly would pass as an article. it's barely two pages, but it's kind of a goodbye kind of article, looking forward type article, and it briefly provides an overview of how well BTS has done during the pandemic. And we all know that's true, but even then, there's not any talk about some of their very recent work, namely Butter or Permission to Dance, of course. So that's the overview. Well, what about the review? How well does this booklet represent BTS, especially to newbies? My favorite part of this whole thing is what they've done with the bios. I like how personable they present each person, highlighting their kind of unique personalities, which just really grabs you. You know, these are real people, normal people, in some respects at least. And so, but you get a little bit of their music ability and the professional side, just a dose, small dose, with each bio as well. And so that's really cool. The some of the quotes that jumped out at me especially, I shared a couple of those. I think there were a couple quotes I wanted to save for the very end here in this review section. And one of them is kind of the second half of the first paragraph of the first article. I'm just going to read it and then explain why it's one of my favorites. Quote, "As much as cultural critics and journalists have tried, you can't pinpoint just one thing that generates the utmost passion and loyalty to BTS from every culture and every demographic. They're a phenomenon, and by definition, you can't quite explain a phenomenon, but we'll try." I just love how that's the last thing they say as they introduce this article. You can't quite explain BTS. You can't explain and describe how they've gotten so big in a relatively short amount of time. It's just too big. I mean, how there's no better way to describe it, you know. And I've found myself thinking that when I've tried to have a conversation with someone who's completely uninitiated to BTS. It's like trying to explain what's so great about them and how they become so popular. I just can't quite find the words. But I try, you know, just like this article has done. So my second quote, this may be the last one I share. This is from this first substantive article as well, page 7. "From the beginning," this is a quote, "from the beginning, the individual members of BTS had an unusual amount of creative freedom over their music and image. They committed to long-term storytelling rather than jumping on current trends that may have guaranteed more immediate success." And I love that. I don't know all the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes into how BTS's parent company have, you know, what decisions they've made, you know, behind the scenes, in other words, that allowed BTS from their very beginning to have a lot of freedom to do this. And it was probably a risky decision, you know. Not every parent company would have done that. But they did, and it's so great. Talking about Big Hit, allowing them the freedom and to do what the group wanted, seemingly. And then the group wasn't just out to make it huge, year one, because they could have taken a different approach to their music if they were all about just making money as quickly as possible. They were about much more than that, seemingly. Obviously, it's paid off for them, but it did take a little while. It was not an overnight thing. So there's only one other quote. I did say that was going to be my last one, but I told you earlier that Steve Aoki had two quotes in this, at least one article. This second quote is from his second quote comes right after the talk about BTS not cracking like the top of, you know, the Hot 100 singles chart, which obviously has happened. But this is what Aoki had to say before, you know, long before Butter came along. He says, "I think it's 100% possible that a song sung entirely in Korean could crack the top of the Hot 100. I firmly believe that, and I really firmly believe that BTS can be the group that can do that. It's going to pave the way for a lot of other groups, which they've already been doing, and when that happens, we're all gonna celebrate." Obviously, this is something that ARMY and BTS is still waiting for, that Korean song. Not English, but Korean. Could have a few English words in it, but mostly Korean song, to make it to the very, very top. And I appreciate that perspective from Aoki, saying they're going to do it. It's just a matter of time. So, I think many of us who are fans are certainly hopeful that would happen. I think in the end, this is a wonderful, small, accessible booklet for those who are just curious about BTS. You may be a collector of stuff like this. That may be one reason you want to get it, but I think it's mainly geared and most helpful to those who are just like I said, curious and wanting to explore. That's all I have to say about the book itself. If you like this podcast, I would love to have your support, but not in the way you might think. Instead of giving to me or giving to this podcast, I'd like to ask you to consider making a donation to an effort called Books for Africa. Books for Africa, or BFA, is a project that I believe is worthy of BTS and all that they stand for, especially when it comes to helping those in need. Books for Africa was founded upon one mission: to end the book famine in Africa. And they've been doing this since 1988. If you would like to learn more about BFA, their website is simply booksforafrica.org, and there's an easy to find donate link on that page. BFA's focus on books also makes it a perfect fit for this podcast, in my opinion. If you make a donation to BFA, and I mean just the smallest donation, $5, $10, please send me a note letting me know that you did so, and that it was because of this podcast that you made that donation. That would just make my day and provide more encouragement to continue with this podcast. You can email me messages like that at btsbythebook, that's BYTHEBOOK, at gmail.com. btsbythebook@gmail.com. And please use this email to ask me any questions you may have, make comments, good or bad, recommend books. I'm open to any of that at that email address. And please, this is my final plea, please consider purchasing books like this Entertainment Weekly, their ultimate guide to BTS. You can find it easily on Amazon if you don't happen to have a store nearby with it on its shelves. Let authors like the folks behind this booklet and others in the book publishing industry know that books about BTS are important too. Not just the albums and things like that. That's easier and more fun, perhaps. But let them know that you enjoy books about BTS and you would like to see more out in the book market. Thank you so much for being with me. That's all for this episode of BTS by the Book. Until next time.